Off the Ball.
In association with Air. Watch 42 live Premier League games this season on the Air Sport Pack.
This is News Talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, after 10 rounds of boxing, the judges' scorecard reads: Oliver Brown has scored the contest 97-92. Steve Gray has scored the contest 97-92. And Giuseppe Quattroni has scored the contest 98-91. All three judges are in favour of our winner. And still, the WPA Lightweight Champion of the World from Bray, Ireland, Katie Taylor. So
a successful first defence of her world title for Katie Taylor against Jessica McCaskill last night in London's York Hall. Andy Lee is on the line. Evening, Andy.
Hiya, Nathan. How's things?
Good. So it was a convincing win on all the judges' scorecards, 97-92, 97-92, 98-91. Was it that convincing for you?
I think so, yeah. I didn't score the round by round, but I thought Katie clearly won. And the rounds that were close, she was still, to me, she was still winning the rounds, you know. McCaskill always carried a threat and was being the aggressor, you know, and bullying forward. But Katie showed her superior skills. And when she boxed, she made it easy. But at times, she tried to mix it and didn't come off the best, you know, didn't some of the exchanges. But for me, she clearly won the fight, yeah.
Were you worried at any time, Andy, through the fight?
Yeah, well, she did get caught that left hook at one stage and had a little wobble. And it was always going to happen at some stage in her career. You know, it's the first time she's really been hurt. I was more concerned about what I've seen from her past fights. It was just the lack of defense and the lack of, you know, she doesn't even consider being defensive or taking a defensive posture or anything, you know. And It is worrying because she's going to have to continually step up in opposition. Her challenges are always going to be better than the last now that she's world champion. And, you know, she's going to have to really try to improve that part of her boxing.
That lack of defence, is that something that's more noticeable since she's turned professional? Was that something you would have said as well, watching her as an amateur?
She's never afraid to take a punch, Katie. In credit to her, she has a great chin. That was the first time she's ever looked hurt. And I think a little bit of it was off balance. Her legs kind of tangled as she took that one left hook. And like she's always been willing to trade. But it's professional boxing. The gloves are smaller. And the rounds are longer, 10 rounds. So she's going to have to be a little bit more careful, I think. I hate to criticize Katie Taylor. I love Katie Taylor. I think she's one of the best boxers we've ever produced, male or female. But it's a different game, you know. Amateur boxing, it's in the moment. You fight in the instant, you know. It's from moment to moment and your reaction. But with professional boxing, it's more about plotting the fight out, taking your time. And using a jab, which after the first round, she kind of just neglected using a jab at all and was relying on her feints. And her only defense is a sidestep, you know, where she punches and hooks and turns off the hook. It's a sidestep hook, which she's been doing since she was amateur. So I don't want to be critical at all of Katie Taylor, but just a little bit concerned that she's not really, not progressing, but not really learning but she has, to be fair to her, and I think it's a bit unfair on her. She hasn't had time to learn. She's had 8 fights in a year and she's fighting so regular and so often that she hasn't had time to learn in the gym and to, you know, inspiring where other fighters do. In their first year, or even in the first 3 years, they're still learning how to be a professional. And she's kind of learning as she fights in the ring when she's fighting.
As you say, it's 8 fights in more or less a year. And Eddie Hearn obviously sees Katie as a huge star and has taken a punt on her and has given her an awful lot of opportunities and seems keen to get her back in the ring as quickly and as often as possible. And the moment the fight finished last night, already he's talking about a homecoming to Dublin in spring, and it doesn't seem as though she's going to get a long break again. So is it just a case that maybe she just needs 3-4 months off, where firstly she gets a little bit of rest, but also gets 6 weeks in the gym just working on her technique?
I think it wouldn't hurt her at all. And I thought she did look a little bit tired, and that's last night towards the end. That's because eight fights in a year and no time off, you know. But it seems like she likes it that way. And it will be a huge fight when she does come home to fight. I think they're talking about April now for her to have a homecoming, which she deserves. And I'm sure it'll be a sellout. And I don't see what the big rush is, you know, with Katie. She's relatively young. I know she's 33, but she's young as a professional boxer, and there's plenty of time. And to be honest, there's maybe one or two people who would really have a chance of beating her.
Andy,
number one. Go ahead, Kevin.
You mentioned there about a little bit of tiredness perhaps in the fight as well. Stepping up to 10 rounds as well now over the last couple of fights. How difficult is that when you actually make that step up? Is that notable in most fighters that you will actually probably see that tiredness because they're adjusting to the longer distance?
Yeah, and she's had 2 10-round fights now. Her last 2 fights have gone distance, and they've been hard fights. You know, she's taken punches and given a lot of punches and exerted a lot of energy in those fights. One thing that helps her, it's a benefit to her and it's a hindrance to her, is it that the rounds, even though she's doing 10 rounds, are still 2-minute rounds. And so there's not been that huge adjustment. It's just where she'd would have done 4 rounds before, and now she's had to, you know, stretch it out to 10 rounds. But in terms of the 2 minutes, I think she's only getting down to doing her best work in the round, and then the bell goes. You know, I don't understand why they have 2-minute rounds for female fighters. I'm sure it's something, you know, for the safety or whatever, but, you know, Katie and McCaskill are well able to do 3-minute rounds. And, to me, I think it should be changed, that female boxers should be doing the same as male fighters. I don't see why there's a difference.
Just before we get on to what's next for Katie, and maybe this is linked in terms of her constantly stepping up in class and maybe taking on the world number one probably within the next year at some stage, but it more and more that lack of defence will cause her issues. Is that down in a way to maybe overconfidence isn't the right phrase, but for so long during her career she was so dominant, she was so clearly better than everybody else, it was simply something she didn't overly have to think about?
I think it's a little bit of that, but also Katie she wants to entertain, she wants to make the fights exciting. You know, professional boxing, there is an onus on entertainment and making the fights competitive and not when one fight's dominant and boring. Like the biggest criticism Vladimir Klitschko have was because he was too dominant. You know, he was just so much better than everybody else. The fights were boring. Katie is willing to engage, and you have to admit her fights are always the best fight on the card. Last night, maybe the Conor Benn fight was an exception, but when she fought her last fight on the Anthony Joshua on the card, she was definitely the best fight on the night. So she's always had, you know, that she's probably eager to entertain. But I think as the competition steps up, she's going to have to be more conscious of defense. Like you talk about the world number one, Delphine Poncun of Belgium. Like I've watched a good bit of her fights, and I think Katie will beat her now. You know, I don't think Katie will have to do much more than she does right now than to beat Poncun. So, like, the problem with Katie is once she does beat Delphine Poncun, who does she fight? They're going to have to find a big rival. Yeah. Let's talk of Holly Holm. That's a credible fight. It's not Holly Holm's the MMA fighter, but she was formerly a boxer. So it's a credible fight. It's not like the McGregor-Mayweather fight where it's a crossover. Holly Holm is a really good boxer. There's also Heather Hardy in New York who's a featherweight but would step up, I'm sure, to fight Katie. And that would be a huge fight. So those are probably the only two names. And to be honest with you, I think Holly Holm is probably the only one who could really challenge Katie Taylor.
Last night was obviously a huge opportunity. She's headlining a show live on Sky Sports. Do you sense that she feels a pressure to entertain? Like there was a stage last night where there was a little bit of sledging, there was a little bit of trash talking in the middle of the round. It seemed unlike Katie in a way, that there's a pressure to, all right, we're investing in you, we want to make you this star, now you need to act like one, you need to talk the talk as well as walk the walk.
I'm not sure if there's pressure. I think she's took it upon herself. I think she has done it. She's elevated female boxing and has got a new respect. People out there have a new respect for female boxing, and she's becoming a household name. She's always a household name in Ireland for the last number of years, but now in England she's becoming a household name. People are recognizing her, you know, and knowing who she is and taking her serious. So I don't know if there's a pressure. I think she's took it upon herself to do that, you know, and to have that those entertaining fights.
Yeah, in the talk of the pressure, though, you mentioned that. If what would it be then if she were to fight then in Dublin in the next fight? Because that would be a different sort of pressure altogether for her in regards to entertainment and the hype around the fight, I suppose, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and what happened last night was that not that she there was a bit of that sledge, you know, back and forth talking. I think, you know, she was challenged, like you would say, her manhood was challenged. That's what McCaskill was coming on to her and was taking Katie's punches and still walking forward and trying, you know, and was talking a bit of smack herself. So Katie was almost challenged, you know, and her, I don't know, sure if her pride was her, but she wanted to show that she was there and a game as well. And they have to try something to get under her skin or to get her to engage. And we talked about it last night before the fight when McCaskill had sent Katie different things online, trying to challenge her and call her out, and also sent her a rubber chicken to a training camp and different things. They're trying to get under her skin. They're trying to unsettle her. And because the only hope they have is if she gets involved in a fight and they get throw a lucky punch and catch up. Because if she sticks to her boxing and sticks to her skills, she's leagues ahead of everybody.
You've already said you think she would beat the world number one, Delphine Persoon. The name that's coming up for that bout in Dublin early next year is the current IBF champion, Victoria Bustos from Argentina. Considering you've already said she'll beat the world number one, I'm guessing that you don't see a huge issue for Katie there.
Yeah, I haven't seen, to be honest, I haven't seen much of Bustos, but the opponents are going to get better. And for me, if I was to, you know, was involved with her or in a trainer, I would just say, take some time to work on defense and work on your jab, because your jab will save, you know, save you half the work that you have to do in terms of moving and feinting, and just a good authoritative jab and a little bit of head movement. That's all.
Just on the business side of it then, if Katie was to come back and headline the Three Arena and you could have anywhere from 10 to 12,000 people, like, we haven't had that since Bernard Dunn, it would be a sensational night for Irish boxing. And you had the situation down in Tolman Park where you had the homecoming, and like, it turns out it is very difficult to get bums on seats. It's very difficult for all the support you get to actually to get people to put their hand in their pocket and take out 50 quid and buy a ticket. From everything you've seen, from the promotion, from Eddie Hearn, from the hype that's around Katie, do you think that's where she's headed, that she'd be able to sell out a Three Arena?
I think there's a hype behind it. Sky do at the best, like you've seen it with numerous fighters now. Sky and Eddie Hearn, they do a great job of building hype and they promote good shows. And in fairness, I think they would put on a strong undercard. There's already some talk of matches with maybe Conrad Cummins and Luke Keeler, and there'll be another few. I don't see Ryan Burnett fighting. He's too big of a star fighting on the undercard, but there will be some big names on the undercard, and that will entice people to come along. I hope so. Like, if Katie Taylor can't sell out the Three Arena, then there's no hope for boxing in Ireland on a big stage anymore, because, as you said, it's been a struggle for guys fighting in Ireland and to get people to come and support boxing. But hopefully they will now, because there is a new dawn. Like, there is a new era of Irish boxing in terms of when you look at Michael Conlon. He's talking about coming home and fighting in Ireland. Jason Quigley, now relocated to Sheffield, would be looking to fight in Ireland. And you have Paddy Barnes and all those guys doing well, you know. So there's a number of Irish boxers. Just to give a shout out, Gary Spike O'Sullivan fights this weekend in Montreal. It's going to be the undercard, HBO, live on HBO. It'll be on the undercard of Billy Joe Saunders and David Lemieux. So that's a huge fight. He's fighting Antoine Douglas. And, you know, obviously wish him the best of luck in this big fight.
Is it a fight he should be winning?
It's a fight. He's a live underdog, but I think he's got a great shot. I think he's got a real shot of beating Douglas. Douglas has only lost one fight in about 24. Flashy American slick boxer, but Gary Spike Sullivan is very, very tough, hits very hard, and I think he's going to be very well up for this fight. So I'm not sure if anyone's betting out there. Don't take my word for it, but I would have a few quid on Gary O'Sullivan to beat Antoine Douglas.
When you're talking about this golden era for Irish boxing, you shouldn't leave yourself out, Andy. You're not done yet.
I know, yeah. I'm not done yet, but there is a new generation and new blood of young kids coming through. And when you look at them all, they were world-class amateurs. And all they have to do is continue in their progression and learn to pick up a bit more trade and the skills, learn their craft as professionals. And we're like, the future is very bright for Irish boxing. So hopefully people will get behind it now and start when Kelly does come back, when Michael Conlon comes back, go and watch the fights. Support these guys, because what other sport in Ireland do we compete at a world level consistently, Olympic level consistently? Like, punching well above our weight, excuse the pun, but we are. And hopefully people will get behind all these fighters and support them.
You're too humble to mention it, I know, but yesterday, 3 years ago, December 13th, 2014, you were hard at work at the Cosmopolitan Las Vegas. Let's have a quick listen.
Hard left hand by Bullfighter. Oh, there's that Andy Lee right hook.
There's that right hook. There's that dynamite right hook. He caught
each other.
Please back there. And Benny Bayless stops the fight with Korobov standing up. And Andy Lee has another miracle victory.
That is so far the signature win of Andy Lee's career. That is a legitimate upset, a shocking upset knockout win for Andy Lee.
Ladies and gentlemen, here at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, Nevada, USA, the end comes at 1:10 of round number 6. The winner by TKO victory, and now the WBO middleweight champion of the world, Irish Andy Lee.
Still sounds pretty sweet.
It does, yeah. It's brilliant. It sounds great, yeah.
You watch it back every week?
No, I hadn't even realized it was... someone tweeted to me, and that was the first time. I actually got a message from Adam during the day saying... happy anniversary, champ, and sent me a photo from Adam Booth.
Oh, brilliant.
That was the first time I realised. And it's great memories.
Oh, it's class.
You can get very quickly lost in a Andy Lee wormhole on Twitter and on YouTube of just brilliance.
Yeah.
I spent the last half an hour watching that John Jackson knockout again and again and again, and it just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter.
A lot of lucky punches.
No, I just wanted to ask you, Andy, quickly. You mentioned the Conor Benn last night on the undercard. How good is he? I didn't actually see the fight, but brutal pictures that I saw today. Some of the pictures I think he was tweeting about some of the wounds he got from the fight. But how good is he? Obviously, legacy with Nigel Benn, of course, his father. So how was he last night?
He got a little shock last night. Like when he first turned pro, I wasn't high up on him. I thought he was just, you know, living off his father's name, but he's actually progressed very, very steadily, and was like in his last few fights before last night was looking very good. And I was thinking, okay, he's a real fighter now. He's earning his own name. But he had a shock last night. He fought a Frenchman and he was dropped in the first round and put down again, which wasn't a bit dubious of a knockdown, and had to really earn his stripes. And he came through, and he actually put the Frenchman down in the last round, and showed like. He's all, up to this point, he showed speed, power, aggression. But last night, he showed heart and bravery. And those are the things you can't teach or you can't learn. So he's got he's a fighter with a big future.
Great stuff as always, Andy. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, lads. All
Thanks,
the best.
Andy.
Cheers, Kevin. Bye-bye.
All right, football show is up next. We'll be talking to Graeme Hunter, and we'll also be talking to Philippe Auclair about Paris Saint-Germain and also about Claude Puel and all that he is doing at Leicester City. That's up next.
Off the ball on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.